Right now it's nearly 11:30 a.m. Time for Talking Animals on 88.5 FM, WMNF, Tampa. I'm Duncan Strauss. I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll be speaking about animal rescue and other issues with our guest Janine Garofalo. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Combustible Edison with a piece called One-Eyed Monkey here on WMNF. This is Combustible Edison with a piece called One-Eyed Monkey, an animal tune of sorts as we use into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF. My name is Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. This month we're celebrating the show's fifth anniversary. We launched the program in Southern California in June of 2003. So here we are, 5 years later. For more information about the show and past guests, as well as archives and iTunes podcasts, I invite you to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. In just a few moments, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Janine Garofalo, the comedian, actress, activist, who's also a longtime animal lover and advocate, with a particular emphasis on rescue dogs. We'll talk animals and assorted other issues, probably including the current political landscape, with Janine Garofalo, when she joins us in a few minutes here on Talking Animals. And as usual, when that conversation is underway, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf. Right now, though, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Dave Attell with a piece called Parrot on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I thought I had a parrot on my shoulder. You ever get that? Nothing. I wish I had a parrot. I really do. And I wouldn't teach them dirty words or songs, no. I would teach them phone numbers and addresses and recipes. I'd use them more like a Palm Pilot, you know? Or I'd teach them things that might save my life, you know, like information, like, in case of an earthquake, get in the doorway. No one has freckles on their ass. Use a condom. Thank you, parrot. Here's a grape.
All right, that was Dave Attell with a piece called Parrot, taken from his album Skanks for the Memories. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, but most are now available as podcasts in iTunes. For example, our last show with Melanie Bowles, a proud Spirit Horse Sanctuary. We also have a link to the Talking Animals MySpace. We're looking for friends, baby. And there's a place to subscribe to our semi-monthly email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests, program news, and remind you when the show will next year air here on WMNF. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Janine Garofalo. So let me quickly outline a few important details about her. She started her stand-up career more than 20 years ago, and during that time, while continuing to perform comedy, has appeared as a series regular on various TV shows, including The Larry Sanders Show, for which she received two Emmy nominations, The West Wing, and she recently joined the cast of 24. She has a similarly broad resume in film. Perhaps her first notable starring role was in 1996's The Truth About Cats and Dogs, portraying a radio host, something she did in real life nearly a decade later during her two-plus-year stint on the Air America network. Her array of other films include The Matchmaker, Roy Michel's High School Reunion, Copland Dogma, as well as voicing the chef Colette in last year's animated smash Ratatouille. She's also a longtime animal lover and advocate with a particular emphasis on rescue dogs, not to mention an enormously articulate and often high-profile political activist. There's much to address here, so with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation, let's welcome Janine Garofalo to Talking Animals. Janine, are you there? Hello.
Hello.
Okay, cool. We have liftoff, folks. Thanks for joining us once again on Talking Animals.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you can hear me?
Yes. And
oh,
you, can you, more importantly perhaps now, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yes, I can.
Cool.
Yes, hello. And hopefully the audience can hear us.
Yes, I think then that would be a hat trick then if we're, yeah, everybody's hearing everybody. So, anyways, when we spoke, just a couple of weeks ago, just to kind of, organize our chat today, you were sort of touting the virtues of the LA hotel where you're staying, and one of those virtues was that they welcomed your dogs. So I think with that in mind, and given the focus of this show, I think we should start off talking about your dogs. What are their names? What are their stories? Where do they come from?
Well, I had three dogs named Dewey, Kid, and Lou. I now unfortunately only have Kid because both Dewey and Lou have passed away. And
sorry to hear that.
Oh, that's okay. It's not your fault.
Yes, no,
as far as I know.
Right.
But
I was not behind that in any way.
And they Dewey I found in Utah 12 years ago. Lou was rescued from a shelter in the Bronx, and Kid was rescued from a shelter in Santa Monica.
And so if I'm not mistaken, you're out in LA primarily to shoot 24, a subject I hope to come back to, you know, in a few moments here. But when you're working away from your Newark home for any length of time, how important is being able to bring Kid to, you know, on a shoot like that?
Well, actually, I don't anymore. I used to travel with the dogs more, and then I realized it was just, it's too traumatic flying, the dogs back and forth, and they are larger dogs, or, you know, were all three larger dogs, and so they would have to go underneath the plane, which is not ideal, and it was not something I was interested in continuing on doing because I didn't feel that they were getting, I felt it was just too traumatic of an experience and too stressful of an experience, and Dewey was 110 pounds. I mean, Dewey was, even when the biggest carry kennel, it just didn't provide enough room for him to be comfortable. The smallest dog I had was Lou at 48 pounds. So they stayed in both upstate New York with my friend Paul or at a great facility called Grace Lane Kennels in Ossining, New York, when they were all alive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a drag. And oddly, last night, coincidentally, rather, I was just talking to a couple of other comics who I was working with last night, and we were talking about fostering dogs, you know, because of the two comics I was talking to in particular travel so much. They live, their base is Los Angeles, but they travel a lot on the road, but they so desperately wanted dogs, particularly shelter dogs, that they were thinking maybe fostering for handfuls of weeks at a time would be a way to get involved with animals.
Sure, and kind of everybody wins. And if I'm not mistaken, you've done, at least over the years, some fostering of that kind as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, my apartment, your apartment really takes a hit, depending on the state of the dogs that you're fostering. Because a lot of times you'll get a dog that has not been indoors a lot, very much at all, for much of its formative, you know, first few months of its life.
Sure.
And so you're taking on the responsibility of not only house training the dog, house breaking a dog, which for me is very difficult for some reason. I find that I just don't have the touch to housebreak dogs quickly. And they
Oh yeah, are you just sort of too tolerant or too laid back?
I think that the dog figures out very quickly I'm not very
tough disciplinarian
when it comes to discipline.
I see.
And especially if they're tinier or younger, on the younger side, or mm-hmm. if they've had a particularly rough go of it, you know, prior to coming to me. I don't like to raise my voice or be unkind to a dog that's been through a lot. So I tend to allow them to go to the bathroom in the house more than I should.
Wow.
So it takes a firmer hand than I think in the house training sweepstakes. But it really is very, very, very wonderful thing to do. But also, you have to realize that a lot of the dogs are going to chew on things.
Sure.
Particularly books.
Books, shoes,
any paper products.
Yeah.
The corners of everything. And so you have to understand that going into it a lot of times, too. But then sometimes you get lucky, you get a dream dog, maybe who's slightly older and just wants to just cuddle. And that's the extent of it. You know, there's sometimes you'll hit the lottery of foster dogs, and they're just little lover bears, and they just want to hang out.
Just playing the percentages. I guess now and again, you're going to trade off the one that chews everything in the house mm-hmm. with the one that just wants to kind of hang and cuddle, and that's part of the process. Yeah.
Always worth it, though.
Absolutely. And just curious if you care to reveal who those comics were, who because it seems like a lot of comics are really animal people, but again, the lifestyle is such that it's hard to actually have one living with you, or one or more living with you, you know, full time.
I don't know that they would be comics that anyone... I don't know if I should...
Okay, yeah.
Isn't that strange? I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing to say.
Okay.
I feel funny saying, oh, well, so-and-so, this person, because I'm afraid maybe that if I... Some of them you may or may not know, and
sure.
then the other one might be then bombarded with people.
Sure, with dog stories.
Dog stories or something.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
I don't know if he would... appreciate that.
Okay, cool. Well, moving right along then, what dog rescue
Sorry.
I was just curious, and I thought others listening might be, but I totally get that we should just sort of shy away from that. So I think probably a safer question might be, what dog rescue organizations or other animal organizations do you feel most strongly connected to at the moment?
I am really a fan of this place in Brooklyn, New York. It operates in the New York tri-state area called Mighty Mutt.
Okay, cool. I think if memory serves, which is increasingly dubious these days, I think that was one you felt really strong about when we spoke maybe 4 years ago or
yes.
so. Yeah.
I love Mighty Mutt. There's also a place called Social Tees, T-E-E-S.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
right.
gentleman who, out of his kind of storefront in the Lower East Side, has activist T-shirts, and you can go in there and give him any slogan, and he'll put it on a T-shirt, what have you, make a sticker for you. He also... fosters dogs and he rescues dogs, and that's on the Lower East Side on East 4th Street. And then in Los Angeles, in Los Angeles area, the Los Angeles Basin, as they say, the shelter in Santa Monica that I had been connected with before is no longer there. So I don't know in California which are the shelters of choice, I'm sorry to say.
Well, perhaps we'll get calls in the next few minutes outlining that. But and I think the Los Angeles Basin is not far from the Inland Empire, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So, and what about, because I know noticed just a handful of weeks ago, I think it was, that you did a benefit for Woodstock Animal Sanctuary.
Farm Sanctuary, that's absolutely correct. They too are great, and then there's also Heifer International. These are more they are animal activists with a concentration on farm animals.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate farming is a particular issue of concern of theirs.
Sure.
For the protection of the animals, and they try and change the policies of corporate farming and also animal testing on the corporate level. And
right.
They also rescue and have for adoption farm animals. That you can. Obviously, you don't adopt them and take them home.
To your cramped apartment,
and so forth, but you can
support them.
Be a friend and a patron of these animals that they will take care of.
Very cool. And how did that come about? Because I noticed Dan Peraro, I think, either was, if not the organizer, he was certainly, I think, on that bill, and he's a past guest on Talking Animals.
Uh-huh. Well, I found out about them when I was working at Air America.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Sam Cedar, my co-host, I guess, I think his sister, who is part of the slow food movement.
Oh, wow.
Which is, for those of you out there who may or might not know about what the slow food movement is, that you could probably explain it better than I. But it's has to do with sustainable farming and
sure.
Organic farming and so on and so forth. And I believe that that's how we found out about Heifer International and also Farm Sanctuary. There's also other various adoption agencies that allow you to adopt formerly abused circus animals or animals from around the world that were kept in less than ideal conditions. There's a number of patron advocate organizations out there that
for
allow
sure.
you to help take care of larger animals.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is Talking Animals on WMNF. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Janine Garofalo. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask Janine a question, please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. So, Janine, when we spoke on this show about 4 years ago, one of the things we talked about was you sort of addressed what you felt was the almost seamless connection between the animal rights movement and the movements, for example, for women's rights and other causes and movements as well.
Just civil rights in general.
Yeah, yeah. And at this point, has your position shifted in any direction? Do you feel more strongly that these movements are all part of a piece or less so?
I do. I do feel they're all part of a piece. I feel like any evolved society or any society that is hopefully moving forward and moving towards being a more equitable and just society has to include animal rights and environmental rights, and as well as human rights, obviously. But I feel a society can be judged by the way it treats its animals, its children, its incarcerated population, its elderly. All of the entities that traditionally have a weaker voice in the national politics, in the political arena, or, you know, we sort mm-hmm. of have still a very white male patriarchal society.
Sure.
Unfortunately, with a lot of very unfortunate and artificial hierarchies built into it over the years that unfortunately continue to get reinforced. And if we don't fight for human rights, animal rights, and eco rights, we as a society can't move forward, and I feel that that's part of what it means to be a good citizen and what it means to be a good liberal. You know, liberal is not a dirty word, and it's something to be very proud of. And, you know, the handful of good liberal Democrats we have in Washington are the only firewall we have between us and complete regression, but at the civic level, at the local level, and on the day-to-day level, It takes every one of us to be mindful of those that can't speak up as much for themselves. And again, that would be, you know, animals, the elderly, children, and the prison population.
Mm-hmm. And it sort of hooks into this. At times over the years, you've functioned as a high profile activist. At the moment, what issues or causes are you sort of particularly passionate about?
The same ones as I
mm-hmm.
always have been.
Okay.
I was more visible, you know, in 2002, 2003, 2004, because it behooved a lot of these networks and so-called news stations to have a easy target, an easy anti-war punching bag, if you will. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's very easy to marshal cultural hostility towards people in entertainment, and especially if they're female, you know. And I think that when I was being most vocal about the invasion of Iraq, this is prior to the invasion and in the early stages of the invasion,
yeah.
I would be on these shows as the idiot who was against, you know, the fight for freedom in Iraq. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like, I was
of course.
Kind of a convenient doofus to look at, because these news stations aren't interested in having an open discussion. And a full and fair discussion about what was wrong and what was going to go wrong with the Iraq invasion.
Yeah.
They just preferred to make it an easily mocked he said, she said, if you will.
Sure.
And
funny how things look a few years later.
Well, not really, because the same people who would think it would be silly to be against the Iraq invasion have no sense of accountability or responsibility, and they rewrite history all the time.
Yeah.
They have no sense of, boy, I guess I shouldn't have been so harsh on the anti-war movement. You know what I mean? It would never occur to the mainstream media or the right wingers. You know, they're in the makeup, in the personal makeup, the personal constitution, if you will, of a right winger or a conservative or a Republican.
Yeah.
That's what they call themselves. I don't know what else to call them.
Sure.
There is no sense of shame, embarrassment, remorse, accountability.
Yeah. You're not going to hear somebody saying, boy, you know, we were a little too hard on Jeanine, and actually turned out she proved to be, you know, on the right track back
then. Well, first of all, it isn't even about Jeanine.
No, I'm just using that as an example because we're speaking, and, you know, I remember you were targeted pretty aggressively back then. So.
Yeah, I just didn't want your listeners to think that I was thinking, boy, they're probably still thinking about me, you know.
Oh yeah, no. You're just standing in for any number of people
who
for sure.
Yeah, they would never. They would. It, like I said, it isn't in the makeup of a quote unquote Republican hyphen conservative hyphen right winger.
Sure.
To say they're sorry or take responsibility or to even think back.
Right.
And it just goes into the memory hole. And then, as it pertains to the mainstream news media, that's not what they do.
Sure.
Their job is to. Pass on false narratives, disinform, try and get ratings. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They're not in the business of giving you any history or context or full and fair dissemination of information.
Yeah, well, this hooks into things I want to ask you about, and also at least one of our email questions says, Jeanine, thank you for the great work you do. Are you hopeful about changes to the animal rights laws coming with the new federal government?
Yes, I am. I am hopeful that as a society we will continue to move forward on these issues, even with or without changes in federal government, because I think that the most substantive change happens from a bottom up process,
mm-hmm.
rather from the top down, if you will.
Sure.
I think that it does take people power, for lack of a better phrase, to create these changes, whether it be for animal rights or human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And the government and the mainstream media are always behind the curve on all of these things. But I think that as we move forward, and as we try and recover from the last 30 years of conservatism, I do think that animal rights will be, as well as green living and organic eating,
mm-hmm.
I think these are things that are going to be pushed more to the forefront.
And again, those things, too, are all pretty well interconnected once you take a decent look at them. And, you know, Jeanine, this hooks into something I definitely was hoping to touch on, of course, because when we last spoke on this show, it was actually the day of the New Hampshire primary, mm-hmm. and we spent some time talking about the presidential race. So I guess it's almost tradition that I ask your thoughts on this presidential election. I mean, what that landscape looks like to you at the moment, especially in light of last night, or any other way you'd like to respond.
Well, you know, as everybody probably knows by now, you know, Obama has claimed the nomination, but I'm thrilled about that. I like Barack Obama, but I also like Hillary Clinton, and I did not like to see the misogyny, whether people are aware of it or not. I've never seen more vitriolic attacks leveled at someone, and this goes back to when, you know, she was in the White House the first time, and it really is upsetting to me to hear the types of criticisms leveled at Hillary, and I think a lot of it has to do with her gender. And in the South, especially when the polls would say white men overwhelmingly come out for Barack Obama, and I feel like it's because misogyny trumps racism every time in the rock, paper, scissors of life. But so that is upsetting to me because I like Hillary Clinton. I also like Barack Obama. So, you know, to me, any Democrat who believes in science will do, and I will support that Democrat. But I would have been just as pleased if Hillary had claimed the nomination.
Sure. And what's your take on Hillary and VP? I mean, does she want it? Will Barack offer it? What's your guess?
She doesn't want VP. I'm sure, you know, her whole life has been built around political activism.
Yeah.
Since she was a little girl, she had her eyes on the prize of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
No one more than her. You know, it's part of the very fabric of their being.
Sure.
She is a political creature, if you will, like it, and that's one other thing that would bother me about why should I vote for Hillary just because her husband was president? Now that steams me more than
mm-hmm.
almost anything, because first of all, that is not just why
mm-hmm.
she's interested, and she has had a long and storied career in politics. Fresh out of college, she was on the Watergate Commission, for crying out loud,
mm-hmm.
and her whole life has been geared towards this, and I think that it would be very difficult for her to take VP. I think she would do it, but I think that, again, there would be this sort of a sting of, is it because she's a woman?
Mm.
Had she been a man this whole time, would it have been, you know, would the tax leveled against her been different?
Yeah.
If it had been a male going against Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he had his whole own set of issues to deal with the racism that exists in our society.
For sure.
But like I say, I still think that misogyny trumped racism
mm-hmm.
in this case between
yeah.
the two of them.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things I'm certainly going to ask about is just, you know, how you viewed the media coverage. Certainly, there's been a lot of assertions about sexism, misogyny, et cetera, in the media coverage. And it sounds like we know.
Well, the political what passes for political coverage in our country is just embarrassing.
Yeah.
It embarrasses me to my very core. So it's very difficult for me to listen to any pundits discuss these things, or even reading about it. It's just like, you know, who writes, does great political commentary is Matt Taibbi.
Oh yeah,
Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
Although I do disagree with some of his vitriol aimed at Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Matt Taibbi, who I adore.
Yeah.
He takes it. I think was like, are you serious, Matt? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What is up here with your distaste for Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, the edge seems to be a little sharper
in
his coverage towards Hillary. But,
exactly.
So, again, this is WMNF. It's Talking Animals. We're speaking with Janine Garofalo, sort of in our final moments. So if you'd like to join the conversation, call 813-239-9663, or you can email us at dj@wmnf.org. So, Janine, just kind of on our final moments here, just want to maybe hit a couple of, you know, sort of odds and ends. So, as I mentioned, I think when I was introducing you, you're out there, I think primarily to shoot 24. How did that come about? What can you tell us about Janice Gold and
Janice Gold, FBI?
Yeah.
How did this come about? Well, I actually had passed on it twice initially because of its sort of right-wing-ish
mm-hmm.
leanings. I hadn't seen the show. I had just heard that it was, you know, at the time I hadn't seen the show, and I had just heard that there was one creator, writer in particular, who was a real right-winger, who was a big fan of torture. So I passed on the show twice, and then somebody from the show called me and said, look, don't let my politics... him, the writer who
mm-hmm.
called me, don't let his personal politics get in my way of working on a really fun show, and it would be enjoyable. And then I thought, I'm going to do it because I'm unemployed.
So, there you go. Very simple equation.
I can only take my nobility so far.
There you go.
And then I realized that I'm unemployed. And so I thought, well, my friend, my very good friend, Mary Lynn Ricecup, works on it. She loves it there.
Yeah.
And her politics are in the right place, so why not? And I have to say, I love working there. I don't always love everything that the show's about, but then again, you know, if there was there is no TV show that reflects my personal ethos, and I'm not playing myself. So, you know, the West Wing was too conservative of me when I was on the West Wing, for crying out loud.
Sure.
So, I mean, I think we'd have to, you know, find a show called the Che Guevara Variety Hour, or, you know what I mean?
Hey, cool.
Hour.
Let's take a meeting and pitch that. So we just have a minute or two left. Of course, the lines are lit up by crazy. Let's just take a quick call or two if we can, Janine.
Sure.
Hi, you're on WNF and Talking Animals with Janine Garofalo. Do you have a very sort of quick question for Janine?
Not much of a question.
Okay.
I just want to say
a quick comment.
Thank you, Janine, for all that you do.
Thank you.
Yes, and I have changed myself, and I know segment is not about veganism, but I'm a vegan, and I feel that if people stop thinking with their stomachs and they start thinking with their minds a little bit more, it would be a lot easier to see what's really going on and be able to make some changes. And we have to change ourselves before we can even think about changing the world.
I agree. You have, I don't know who coined the phrase, you have to be the change that you want to see in the world. Was it Dr. King or John Edwards or, I don't know, Natalie Maines, I don't know who said it, but
well, absolutely.
It's it's certainly a good phrase there, a good philosophy, actually. And, wow, I just didn't think I'd be able to talk with you. I've seen you in a movie or a show a while back, and I thought you were very beautiful the first time I saw you. And
thank you.
Now that I know more about you, I know you have a beautiful soul, and that's very rare.
Oh, you old flatterer. Thank
yes,
you.
Well, that, you know, flattery will get you everywhere.
Thank you.
But that was a very nice – thanks very much for your call. And it was a great way to sort of hook together what we alluded to earlier about the way animal rights, green thinking – the environment, everything sort of is
all
part.
Being mindful, as he was, as the gentleman was just saying.
Yeah.
It's about being mindful and
for sure.
Not thinking with your stomach, also not thinking with your wallet. Now, granted, that's easier said than done.
Yeah.
Most people sort of are tethered to thinking about their wallet. They have to. They have children and
sure.
Obligations that make it almost impossible for them to be as mindful as, you know, would be ideal.
Right, but it's all like one of the things we really talk about and sort of espouse here on the show is just even little steps in that direction
right.
are good.
And it just takes little personal steps, as also the gentleman was saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's really true. If you are not willing to take on some of these changes on your own, and I have to admit, I am not vegan. I am sorry. I apologize. I hope that doesn't make too many enemies
out
there
at all.
For me, but I am not vegan. I'm sorry to say. I should be, and I should work on that. And I'm not, but I am. Intellectually, I understand why it's important to be vegan.
Sure.
And I'm weak.
Okay. I don't know about that, but Janine, I think we are just sort of at the end of our time, but I think this call and that comment is as good a place to end this as possible. Of course, I wish we had much more time to talk more and to take more calls, and I was going to talk to you about stand-up and Bonnaroo. No, this is what, this is delightful. So, you know, we'll just save some of these for 4 years from now when we hopefully have our next conversation
sure.
on talking
well,
animals.
We can talk 4 months from now.
Okay, well, I like that. I like that attitude. So thank you again for making the time to join us today on Talking Animals, and we'll look for you on 24 and elsewhere. I don't know how often you get to Florida, but we'll keep an eye out for any stand-up or other appearances there, and thank you again for making the time today.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, check out our MySpace. We're looking for friends just like you. It's all found on talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, the Talking Animals baseball hat, to the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune. Let's name that animal tune at WMNF. Hi, you're on WMNF. Can you name that animal tune?
This is Stray Cat.
That's almost close enough, though. What's your first name?
Rachel.
Rachel. Okay, I'm going to come back and get your information, Rachel. Okay. Just stay on hold. Okay, folks, we have a winner. And just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The program airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So we'll be back again next Wednesday, June 11th, with our guest Moby as part of our special programming in June to mark the show's five-year anniversary. Thanks to all guests, listeners, supporters of all stripes who have helped us reach that milestone. Please visit our website, talkinganimals.net. And while you're there, please sign up for our email newsletter. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. And I'll return again next Wednesday, June 11th, with Moby on WMNF Tampa. We're closing out today's show with, of course, as always, an animal song. It's Ricky Lee Jones with Bye Bye Blackbird on right here on WMNF Tampa.
Ooh, back up on my KLMO. Here I go, swinging low. Bye Bye Blackbird. Well, somebody waits for me. Sugar sweet. and so is he. Bye-bye.